Well, we've been working our way through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, trying to understand a little bit more about love. So it would be like today somebody saying to you, well, you just need to be more loving, or why don't you love a little bit more, or why don't you do something and express love? Well, you know, that's pretty ambiguous. Like, what does that mean? That's so general, isn't it? So general. How can you be specific? So you need to be more specific, because it's easy to just say, well, I'm going to try to be a more loving person. I'm going to try to love people better, you know. But that's, again, so general that I probably wouldn't change anything. You know, it's just like saying, well, I'm going to be a better person. Better at what? Just better. I'm just going to try harder. You're going to try harder in what area? Just try harder, right? So we're trying to figure out, well, what is love? And so, you know, I think there's two lists at least. There's probably several, but two lists. And, of course, the one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul is describing what love is, because that's kind of where he starts this whole section of saying love is. And so we'll just kind of go to that real quick, which was just read. But love is, so this is what we're trying to figure out, what this love is. And as we go through these, it's also interesting that none of these are technically things that you do. Like, these are things that you are. These are attitudes that you have, right? So love is patient. Well, you can, you know, we know what it is to be patient, but to be patient means that it's something on the inside. Now, how that works its way out, how that reveals itself, how that is practical in our life, maybe in different areas, and for different people, they struggle with different areas of patience, right? Some people just are impatient with other people that are hard to get along with. Some people are impatient, they just can't wait, you know, they're just eager for something else. Some people aren't patient in other areas of their life. So again, patience, or what that looks like, is dependent on the situation. Now, sometimes if someone says, well, I'm going to try to be more patient, maybe they have something specific in mind, that, you know, I'm somebody who gets frustrated and angry really quickly. But it's the same thing with kind. Love is kind. So let me just tell you, this week I'm going to try to be more kind. What does that mean? What does that mean to be more kind? Because kind is not something you do. So let me give you an example. Two ways of looking at it. I don't think it was that long ago, maybe a few years ago, somebody came up with a good idea to say, let's practice random acts of kindness. Not a bad idea. So that means I'm going to, throughout my day, at some point, try. So now what I'm doing is I'm working on something on the inside, because first of all, I've got to notice something I can actually be involved in. So I'm going to be more pleasant. I'm going to try to encourage somebody. I'm going to give the waitress a bigger tip. I'm going to let somebody in on the freeway. I'm going to give somebody at work a break. You know, I'm just, so that's a practical way of doing it. But for me to be kind, it's something I have to do, to be aware of, to say, I got to work on this attitude, right? So it's a really good thing to say, let's practice random acts of kindness. Well, let me put it this way. It's really good when you are in a group of people, or in a community of people, or in a nation of people that have no kindness at all. I mean, that's really what we're saying. You guys can't be kind on your own. So we're going to come up with a thing where it's going to actually force you. Now, I'm glad that people are a little more kind if they're practicing the random acts, you know, so we kind of feel the effect of somebody else's kindness. So that's good. But really, that's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about try to be kind once in a while. What it's saying, be a kind person. Have a kind heart. Have a kind attitude, or an attribute, or a quality. Right? So, again, it's good that people would do random acts of kindness, but on the other hand, it's kind of sad that we've gotten that low that we actually have to make yourself be kind. Right? Now, you can make yourself do kind things, but it's a lot harder to make yourself be kind, isn't it? I love my money, so, oh, I'm going to give that waitress an extra tip, because I just feel like I need to be kind. And I can put it on Facebook, and all my friends will see and they'll like me. Or, you know, to let that guy in traffic, or to give that person a break, or tell my mom I love her. Just whatever it would be, right? I mean, it's hardly kindness if you actually have to force yourself that hard to do it, right? I mean, it's coming across like you're helping somebody out, but you've kind of lost the whole motivation behind it, of being a kind person. So this is what he's saying here. Don't just do kind things. Now, that's good. If you're doing kind things, we're not saying stop it. But that's not what the goal is. The goal isn't don't do more kind things. Be a kind person, a kind heart, a kind attitude, and you will be doing more kind things. Except it will actually come from a pure motive, right? Instead of forcing myself. So again, another list that we have. And the more I think about it, the more I really do think that Galatians chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I think that's kind of all it is. It's love. Because, you know, what did the greatest commandment, what did Jesus say? Well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbors yourself. And again, that's pretty general. And so Galatians chapter 5 is saying, listen, you need to be people of love. Well, what does that look like? Oh, well, let's talk about it then. Love is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is kind of how love expresses itself. But again, one of the things on the list is kindness. But what does that mean? That means when I have the Holy Spirit living in me, it's changing me, it's changing my heart, changing who I am, that I'm going to have these qualities. These are going to be... And it's hard to say it. Well, it's easy to say it. It just makes people feel bad. If we have this Spirit within us, these things are supposed to come out naturally. Does that make sense? Because what is it called? It's called fruit. So in the spring, fruit trees start getting leaves. They start budding. They start growing fruit. And eventually you'll have a harvest of fruit. But the fruit tree doesn't have to try to do it. It doesn't have to work hard at it. Why? It's a fruit tree. That's what fruit trees do. If it's an apple tree, apples come out. And an apple tree doesn't have to think, should I do apples or oranges? I hear oranges are in this year. You know, should maybe pears. I'll try grapes. I've never done grapes before. Right? No, an apple tree just says, I do apples, producing apples. It's in my DNA. It's in my nature. It's who I am. It's who I've always been. So fruit of the Spirit, it's something that comes from within. And that's why I sometimes am certainly hesitant to say, and I shouldn't be, so I don't apologize for hurting anybody's feelings, because I guess everybody's feelings are going to be hurt at some point, you know. But it's kind of like, if this is supposed to be coming out naturally, and it's not coming out naturally, there's a bigger problem than your kindness. Like, maybe there's a problem with the Spirit working in your life. And if there's a problem with the Spirit working in your life, it's not the Spirit's problem. It's not the Spirit's fault. It's not because the Spirit is lacking or the Spirit's not powerful. It's because we are not submitting to the Spirit of God, right? So, just work at it. We'll just grow together, okay? Because, I mean, none of us are who we ought to be, right? None of us do this even really well. I mean, some of us are still struggling just to make a few of these, you know, to see growth. But the idea is it comes naturally. It's not something that's worth, you know, again, we don't have to wake up in the morning and say, God, today, you know, I just need to work on being kind, 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 kind. That's what I got to do. Kind. It should be, God, I just want you to work in my life. Let your Spirit help me that I can just see opportunities where I can express the love of God. Now, again, if you're not a kind person, maybe you do need to focus on that. Or you're not patient. Maybe that'd be another one to say, ooh, yesterday I was not that good with my patience. Today, God, I just need to, you know, when that situation or that person or that whatever comes up that tries my patience, I'm going to be ready this time. And I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to respond in an appropriate way. I'm going to try to be more godly and, you know, I'll be more patient. So, yeah, sometimes we can pray specifically about situations, but hopefully it's the Spirit from within helping us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Does that make sense? So I think that there's things on this list that sometimes we say, yeah, I need to work in this area. I have failed, I've sinned in this area today. Tomorrow I need to do better, right? But hopefully it's the Spirit working within us and not just us, you know, trying to, you know, pull up our socks and say, well, tomorrow I just got to try a little bit harder. It's got to be more about me, right? As opposed to saying, God, I just need to be more submissive to your Spirit. I need to be more like Jesus. I need to be thinking, how does God want me to live today? And I need to submit to that. So you may look at this list and say, there's a lot of things on this list. The reason I'm not this way is because I've got too much of me in my life. Too much of the old person. Too much of the pride. Too much of worldliness. Too much of selfishness. Right? As opposed to saying, God, help me to be humble. And help me to be selfless. Help me to love others. Just as Jesus loved other people. Help me to be the person you want me to be. And hopefully we grow in that area. So, the idea of this idea of kindness. The Old Testament, by the way, does speak a lot about kindness. It's just very difficult, depending on what translation you use. And we've talked about this word before. But in the Old Testament, the word is chesed, which is, again, the word that we cannot really translate. But it is some kind of a love. So sometimes it's translated the loving kindness. Sometimes it's just translated the grace of God. The long suffering of God. Okay. So again, like something like Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, you know, what has the Lord required of you? Right? But to seek justice and then to love. Now, this is a big thing. What is it to love? Something saying love mercy. And some translations say even love kindness. But it's the word chesed, which actually does mean loving kindness. It could include mercy, but kind of whenever you think about God and his what most wonderful attribute in the Old Testament, that's generally when this word comes up many times in the Psalms about the chesed of God, loving kindness or the mercy of God. Or, I think that's basically covers it. But here Paul is talking to the people in Lystra, and pagan nation, like they're literally idol worshippers. And if you remember when Paul got there, the people thought Paul and Silas were gods. So they started, bowing down to them and worshiping them and sacrificing to them. They weren't sacrificing them. Not yet, actually. It's a whole different lesson, but it's just kind of interesting going through that chapter to find out how fickle people are. You remember with Jesus? Well, one minute, the crowds were yelling, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're saying that about Jesus. It's wonderful. He's the Messiah. And a day later, they're saying, crucify him, put him on the cross, kill him, execute. Same people. But it's the same thing that happened at Lystra. At one point, they're thinking Paul is a god, and they're worshiping him and sacrificing to him. And then the Jews came along, and they said, they're all false teachers and all that stuff. And they said, kill them. Like, let's kill them now. So they wanted to execute Paul and Silas. But this is what Paul was preaching just before he was opposed when the Jewish ringleaders came along. He was telling them that God created the whole world and that God has not left himself without witness. Well, how has God showed up and revealed himself to people? Like people today may even say that. Well, where do I see God? How has God shown himself? So Romans 1 says we can see through the creation that there is a God through the things that he has put in order. And he even says that here in Acts chapter 14, verse 15 and 16, that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. But here, look what he says. God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. So what is this testimony of God? His kindness. How do we know God exists? Because he's kind. How do all these things happen? How is our life blessed? How do we have food and shelter? How do we have the things that we enjoy in the world? How do we have that? Because God is kind. What does the Bible say? That God is kind to the righteous and the unrighteous. To those people that follow him and those people that don't, to those that love him and those people that don't love him. He's kind to everybody. God is kind. And so that's kind of interesting. You think, well, God should only be kind to the people that really deserve it. No, but God is kind to everybody. And so that's helpful in our lesson when we think about, well, what's God called us to do to be kind? In Romans chapter 2 and verse 17, again, Paul is describing the revelation of God. And he was saying to the Jewish people that God has given you his law. He's given you the promises. He's given you a covenant. He's given you the Old Testament that shows the faithfulness and the forgiveness and the generosity of God through the Old Testament scriptures. But here he says, do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness? So he's been so kind to you, but are you going to take him for granted? Are you going to keep pushing on that and taking advantage of God because he's so kind? God's forbearance, God's patience, and not realizing that it's God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. So it's God's kindness that is supposed to encourage us to say, we want to follow him. We want to love him. We want to please him. We want to worship him. He's been so kind to us. He's been so faithful. He's been so generous. He has blessed us. Like even non-Christians, people that you know, I mean, they've received so much from the hand of God, they may not even acknowledge it. They may not even believe in God, but it's still all come from God. So God's been very kind, but he's saying it's God's love and his kindness that's trying to draw us to himself, because he's kind. It's kind of like the parable that Jesus told of the man who had two sons, and one said, you know, give me all my inheritance. I want to go, and I want to live my own life, and I want to be free. And he went, and he spent it all, had a good time partying and doing all kinds of stuff. He ran out of money. But when he reached his very lowest point, what did he say? He said, I'm going to go back to my father, because I know my father is a kind man. My father is one that even takes care of the servants well. So I'm going to go back to my father and say, Lord, Father, I am unworthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. But what was it? It was the kindness of his dad to think when he was in a faraway place, I know my dad. I know who he is. He's kind. He's the kind of person that would accept me back. And I don't want to go back as a son. I'm not worthy to do that. I wouldn't expect that. But I believe he'll take me back as a servant, as a slave. And so that's what his thought was. And his dad was kind. His dad was compassionate. His dad was forgiving. And so the son came back and he was actually reinstated as a son. But this is the idea of God's kindness, that he showers that upon us so that hopefully we will see it and that we will respond, that we will want to serve him. In Titus chapter 3, it says there, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared... So again, this is Jesus when he came. How's this described? It's the love of God, but it's also the kindness of God. Jesus came because God is kind. When, of course, who's he kind to? He was kind to us. He was thinking about us. Think about, what can I do? So when we think about kindness, maybe this challenges us a little bit. Because sometimes we say, well, I can be kind as long as it's easy, as long as it fits in my schedule, and as long as it does not cost me very much, I can be kind, right? Or even the idea of random acts of kindness is kind of like, well, you're kind of going that way anyway. You're on the highway to let one person in. How's that going to affect your day at all? You know, or you're going to give the waitress a little bit of a bigger tip. You know, I'll give her an extra 35 cents off the $100 bill. You know, or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, you can do a little bit. But a lot of times we think, well, I can be kind as long as it doesn't cost me much. But on the converse side, you know, we think about the Good Samaritan. I mean, if we're going to be honest, don't we relate a lot more to the religious people? I mean, we're religious people. So we should say, well, I can relate to religious people. But it was the Pharisee and the scribe. They passed by on the other side. But they could have easily said, do you understand how much is involved here? What kind of time and effort and commitment and even financial loss that this is going to involve? Never mind my own personal safety or my reputation. I can't do this. I'll leave it for somebody else. Oh, we said, well, they weren't very kind, were they? But I'm thinking most of us could relate to that. Because I think we're good at being kind when it's easy and convenient. But when it's very costly, and that's kind of the idea with this idea of God sending his son, that was not easy for him. That was not like, well, you know, just as I'm going along my way, we'll fit it in. Right? No, it costs him a lot. To be kind sometimes is costly. Now, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it just is convenient. It comes that way sometimes. But to be kind sometimes is very difficult. But he saved us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. So again, ultimately, he's saying we didn't even deserve God's kindness, which is another huge issue that we have, isn't it? Right? So I have an opportunity to be kind. And so sometimes this is the challenge. So if we're going to say, God, you know, I want you to work in my life. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. And so now I come upon an opportunity. So how many times has this ever happened to you? Here's an opportunity to be kind. And the first thought you have is, I should be kind. I should serve. I should share. I should give some money. I should help out. I should say something. I should get involved. Here's an opportunity. I should get. But you have that second. How long does that second last in your head for? Oh, 2 seconds, right? I should help. I don't know. Maybe that's the spirit. Maybe not that. You figure that out yourself. But now we got to get intellectual. We have to get rational. I wonder if they deserve this. I wonder what they've done to get themselves in that predicament. I wonder if I help them out, if they're really going to appreciate that. I wonder if I help them out, they're going to just depend on handouts the rest of their life. I wonder if I get involved, how much longer are they going to keep coming back to me? So this is not just a one-time thing. This may be an ongoing project. You know, I know you never have those things come into your mind, but to be honest, sometimes I do. Right? We try to analyze the whole thing. And quite frankly, by the time we've analyzed the whole thing, either the opportunity's lost, it's just passed us by, because that guy on the side of the road is like 3 miles behind. Or else we've rationalized and say, he's not worthy. Right? Does that ever happen? Right? It happens sometimes. If it doesn't happen to you, sometimes it may happen to the person sitting beside you. So maybe being kind is just saying, if I have an inclination to be kind. So you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying throw all caution to the wind. You know, you find somebody that needs a helping hand and you're like, well, I have the last bit of rent money that I've got and I'm going to give him all my rent money and I'm going to go without rent. Right? Maybe that's not the smartest thing to do. But, you know, maybe we don't need to rationalize so much. We just need to say, an opportunity to give, to help, to serve, to get involved, to do something. Just do it. You know, don't think, well, is this person just taking advantage of the situation? Or is this person being insensitive? Or is this person just not being responsible? Right? So I know that even scripturally and biblically, sometimes there's a little bit of tension there. But I don't know. You just kind of wonder how this is going to come out in the end. Well, it will come out in the very end because I've got one slide at the very end. But get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. So if we can get rid of a lot of that stuff, because maybe he'll get to be kind, right? Be kind. Well, what stops us sometimes from being kind? Because we're bitter towards people. We're bitter in situations. We're bitter maybe about our own life. We're just not very happy, you know. We're just all self-consumed and all the stuff that's going on in my little mind. And I have no opportunity to see anything else or see anybody. I mean, I don't even see your problems. I'm just thinking about all my problems. But he's saying, if you get rid of the bitterness, some get rid of the rage, if we can get rid of the anger and the brawling and the slander, and we can get rid of the malice, then maybe we'll be able to see opportunities and be involved in opportunities to be kind and to be compassionate, to be forgiving, you know, those kind of attitudes. So we've got a list of things that maybe hinder us from doing those things and the list of things that we ought to be doing. Some, one of them is to be kind. Be kind. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, again, here says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone and able to teach and not be resentful. So there he's just talking to how we influence other people. And if we're trying to teach other people, You know, a great quality to have is kindness. Because if we're not kind as a person, if we're not kind in our teaching, if we're not kind to the people that we're trying to influence and lead, and that's not even just during the Bible study, but just being a kind person, right? Sometimes people get more influenced and affected by us as people and our attitude than they do about the actual message that we're trying to teach them. Well, it shouldn't be that way. They should just be listening to the truth. They should just be listening to the message. They should just be listening to what the Bible says. If I don't do it right, then... But sometimes we get in the way. So it would be better if we could, you know, be kind towards people so that, you know, we can have an influence on people because of the way we're living, not only what we're teaching. And maybe, again, it shouldn't always be that way, but sometimes it is. So this is what Jesus said, and you're quite familiar with it, I'm sure, with at the very end of time, it talks about a judgment and says there, you know, Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison. You came to see me. And they say, well, when do we ever see like that? And Jesus said, you know, whenever you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Whenever you did it to the least of these. So I guess as we close, maybe the idea would be, if there's opportunities like this, and there may be other opportunities, it's not an exhaustive list of every opportunity and say, well, there was an opportunity for me to be kind, but wasn't on this list, so I didn't do it. It's just to kind of give you an idea of things you can do, but whatever you do in kindness, this would seem to be, wouldn't you say kindness? If people are hungry, if you feed them, is that a kind thing? You do it with the right attitude? Or they're suffering and you help them? Or they need a visit and you visit them? I mean, that just seems to be kindness. So maybe our attitude should be, here's an opportunity for me to be kind. I got to decide it momentarily, because often that's the way it is, right? I mean, you don't have a lot of time to think if you're going to let the guy in front of you. You know, you can let him in or not let him in. Right? You got to decide quickly. If you're not sure, do it. Do the right thing. Just do the thing, whatever you think it is. Because you don't have time, you know, to analyze the whole thing. Well, I wonder what kind of driver he is. Does he butt in front of everybody like this? Is he going to wave to me as he's going through? Because if he doesn't, that's it. It's over, buddy. At least express some appreciation for my goodness. Right? Well, don't worry about that. Just say, hey, if I think I should let him in. If somebody needs some help, I need to give him help. So if you're not sure, is this the right thing to do? Not right thing to do? It's the right thing to do. Do it. How's that? Well, maybe that helps in being kind, as opposed to us overanalyzing all the time, and we miss over all kinds of opportunities to be kind. And then, so what I'm saying is this. I don't think we are going to get at the judgment and Jesus is going to say, you know, it said, you know, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. By the way, you did this way too much. And God's not, I'm just unhappy. Quite a little bit disgusted, actually. You were just too kind. You helped too many people. That's not the right... Right? He's not going to do that. Now, might he say, you really could have done a little more. So, better to do too much than too little. How does that sound? Is that a good summation of being kind? So hopefully we don't have to say, well, I got to work on my random act of kindness this week. Hopefully this idea of love is, if love is kindness or love is being kind, then... It should be that attitude, this, the Holy Spirit working within us, leading us to be kind people, to be kinder people, right? To have the attitude. And again, that attitude shows up all the time in the way we act, the way we treat people, the way we talk to people, not just what we say. Sometimes it's the tone of voice. Sometimes it's just our attitude. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes, like, if you're like me, sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to do really good this time. I'm going to treat you kindly, and I'm going to say the right thing, and I'm even going to say it with the right tone, but I still don't have the right attitude. Like, I'm kind of putting on a show, right? I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can, but it's like, I just need to have the right attitude as well, right? To be sincere in this, right? But you know, the more we do it, the more God works in our life, the more we see the Spirit taking control in our thoughts and in our actions and our attitudes, then we'll grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And again, maybe that's why it's called fruit, because it's growing. It's maturing. So we're not there yet. But hopefully we're on the process of growing to be more like Christ. So as always, we give an opportunity for people that don't know Jesus to become a Christian, to be a disciple. And if today you want God to work in your life so that you can bless other people, so that Jesus can express his kindness in your life, and he expressed kindness when he died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, we could have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we could have the promise of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. So we have to be in Christ in order for us to receive all the blessings and the gifts and the promises of God. So if you want to be in Christ today, to surrender your life to him, to turn from your sins and to walk in the way, to be baptized into Jesus, if we can help you today, if you want to be baptized, we can do that as well. Let's stand, we'll sing the song, and let us know how we can encourage you.